in front of an auditorium of a couple thousand people. I just feel like I was so well announced. So thank you for that. Jacqueline has asked me to read tonight.
By the way, Debbie's on the radio. Our sister Debbie's listening
on Debbie.
The radio. Hey, Deb.
Hello there in radio land.
Marge is here.
Marge. I talked to Marge on the phone a few minutes ago. She said she was going to be here. All her family's here. And Cheryl.
Well, and there's Tana. Tana is here as well. Hey.
Hey.
So we are here for Growing with NTI, reading from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. We are currently reading from the book of Acts.
Yeah, let's say a little prayer before we get started. Where's your pizza? I thought I was going to read and you were going to eat pizza.
Well, it's being warmed
up. Okay, all right. Okay, all right, we're going to say a little prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you for this life. Thank you for the opportunity to know you, to know our brother as ourselves. We truly want to know this. We know that this is the answer to whatever we see as a problem, to know my brother as myself. I know that's my salvation. That seems like a simple thing to know, and I thank you. I thank you for teaching me this lesson. Thank you, God. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Amen.
Aw, amen. How sweet. Beautiful.
Okay. We got another listener?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, Jay joined us.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay. Cheryl was just saying she needed to know where we're starting and stopping. So we're starting on page 224, but that's not really what you want to put in there. So it's NTI, Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 20.
Okay, I think we need to back up a little bit, though.
Okay, but Connie wants to back up, so don't write that. Where are we backing up to?
Let's do the very last sentence on 223.
So this is verses 1 through 11, beginning with sentence number 35.
Exactly. So we're talking about the a loop in reasoning, and Holy Spirit saying, you know, give that up. Give it up right now, right this minute, because right now, as you sit reading this, you live. Right now, you cannot be separate from God. Right now, God is in you, and you are in God. There is no separation. So right now, your oneness with God is complete. Right now, there is nothing that is hidden, not in accordance with your oneness. Right now, everything is perfect. Because everything is God right now.
Amen.
It's our call. It's our call to be present. It's our call to live in this moment. How beautiful. Okay, so then 12 through 16 says, can everybody hear me? I guess right. I'm not sitting too far away from the mic, I guess.
Sure. Yes, Cheryl says she can hear you, but she missed the chapter. She had to be away from the mic for a minute. So what again?
You weren't away when I was complimenting you, were you?
Anyway, we're at chapter NTI Acts chapter 5,
12
verses. Well, we begin at verses 1 through 11, sentence number 35, and now we're moving on to verses 12 through 16.
Okay. What is it that you must do? You must release your guilt. Okay, close the book. That's it.
It's that simple.
There is no reason to hide it, for there is no judge to hide it from. That's really nice. You know? Because we always thought there was a judge, and the only judge was really ourselves. So.
Right.
So we were guilty, and then we judged ourselves for being guilty.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. There is no reason to hide it, guilt we're talking about.
Well, and as you know, and I know it probably says that here as well, but that's what Course in Miracles keeps telling us. Just bring it to me.
Right.
Yeah. Just don't try and hide it. Bring it to me so that it can be healed.
Exactly. And that's why we're in the classes that we're taking, we're doing all these inquiries because in order to not hold on to that guilt, in order to bring it to the light and let it go and be transformed. Okay. There is no reason to hide it, for there is no judge to hide it from. God is light, and He has given His gift to you, and you are living it. No crime has been committed because you live. It is only the belief that you have committed a crime that must be healed. This belief is healed by bringing your guilt into the light and finding that you are not judged. Released into the light, there is no guilt, for God has witnessed no crime. Yeah, and that, you know, that basically, you know, we've never left God. This is only a dream of leaving God. So the dream has no real effects. So there's no one to witness the guilt. All is well. Don't be guilty.
Don't feel guilty.
Don't feel guilty.
Because you're not guilty. Wait
right.
a minute for honey.
While you were eating.
Oh, how nice. Here's your book club. Tom is joining us.
Hello, Tom.
Hey.
Hey, why don't you sit up here? I'll sit over there and eat.
All right.
All things written within the New Testament are symbolic. All things written there are for your benefit and for your learning. Give me your willingness that you may truly learn what I have come to teach. What have I come to teach? You are not guilty. You are a child of light. I have come to set you free that you may sing of your innocence before your brothers. For your innocence is their innocence also. And in your innocence, they will find theirs. You know, oh my God, can you imagine going along and never feeling guilty about anything? How friggin' free would you be?
Yeah, you can do that. You know, you can do that for a minute. You can, you know, for a second. You can, if you really focus on it, just, you know.
Yeah, but can you imagine living that life of that?
And that's the practice of it.
Yeah,
that's the devotion. That's where the devotion comes in. You know, we try. You know, we can do it for. I was actually thinking about doing, you know, just getting a bell that rings just to stay present. To you know, so that it goes off like when I'm in. I take a bath all the time, and it will go off. So it will go off every minute. So, because
to bring you back to the
yes,
presence.
Because, you know, even Jesus says how tolerant we are of mind wandering.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I'm tolerant of it. It's just, but I'm not intolerant of it. I've learned not to, you know, not to judge it. But I know, give me your willingness, he says. I feel my willingness. I certainly do. There's no question. I feel my willingness, and I, you know, and it's just that the power of the wish that was made is very powerful. It's a very powerful. It's got the weight of God's Son behind it.
Yeah.
So,
of the co-creator.
Right.
Right.
So. You know, it, whatever you can do to remind yourself, and I kind of got that from Eckhart Tolle. Like they hear Eckhart Tolle with the little ding,
yeah.
And it's like, okay, come back. You know, and always just remind yourself. You know, use something to remind you to come back. You know, I tend to think that you have to also watch out for becoming used to the ding.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
The ego would be used to the ding.
You start getting used to the ding.
Within 24 hours.
Right. So, it takes that devotion. But it does bring, it does bring you back. It'll bring you back sooner than your own free will bring you back. So.
Yeah, and we had that lesson that you probably remember where somebody was talking about using a prompt like every time you walk through a doorway.
Yeah.
Or every time you did anything that you do on a fairly
regular
basis.
That's what I do when I'm in the bathtub. I consider that the bathroom is like my symbolic altar. And I fill it with water. I feel it lift my body. It gives me a sense of being supported, of being the closest you can come to weightlessness. You know,
right.
Water supports you. And me and Jacqueline were talking about this, about immersion tanks. It kind of gives you what it feels like to be without the body,
right.
Or not to have the body such an,
such an integral part of your existence.
Yeah, because when I'm sitting in the bath and then I'm letting the water out, I just notice what it feels like as the water's draining, and I can feel the gravity of the earth start pulling me back down.
Right.
It's not so fast. You're mine. So that's what I use. I use anytime you go into the bathroom, I heard Regina say it, anytime you go into the bathroom, it's like, to me, the bathroom is a place of elimination and purification. Both of those things. And just take your time in there and just be peaceful and be that guiltless son of God that you spoke of. Just be that, use what you have available to you, because you do that, mindlessly. We do that mindlessly how many times a day? And if you can go in there, and it's a comfortable, you sit, and nobody bothers you. They know you're busy. You're not going to be disturbed.
I think you thought this through.
I have.
Where you thought this through? Probably on your crown.
Throne.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Show me where we are, because I want it.
I think.
Yeah, there it is. You're not guilty, you're a child of light. I have come to set you free that you may sing of your innocence before your brothers. For your innocence is their innocence also, and in your innocence they will find theirs. And it struck me when you read that we were talking about guilt, and that, what we do because we believe that we're guilty is exactly what the Course in Miracles told us. And, of course, I didn't believe it for years. What do you mean I'm projecting my guilt? But because I feel guilty, I'm looking to make someone else wrong. And so as I come to recognize my guiltlessness, then I can allow others to just do what they do, to be who they are, to say what they would say, without the need to project my guilt onto them, without the need to make them wrong so that I'm right in comparison, right, to alleviate the sense of guilt that I feel. So I really feel like that's what's going on in that paragraph, is just really an explanation of how my innocence allows them to appreciate their own innocence. I'm not always trying to make them guilty to alleviate my own guilt.
Right.
Well, I think that's profound. So innocence being the opposite of guilt, so when you realize that you're not guilty, when you realize you're innocent, then you can allow that same innocence to your brother and not make them guilty for everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I needed that on the golf course the other day.
Yeah. And a clear mind or a clear heart of noble intent of, would never want to impose that, because we've experienced it. We know the dread and the pain and the suffering of it. And who would want to put that on anyone else? I don't care who it's your worst
enemy.
I do
for just a minute, but then I feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
And you can see it just being yourself.
It's that loop that we were talking about and not being present.
Mm, right. Right. Not being present.
Yeah, and if you're present, you're not guilty in the presence, and there's nothing to project.
Yeah.
And that's how you allow your brother his innocence.
Cool beans.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, you want to read? You're a better reader than I am.
Where is that?
20.
Didn't you just read that?
We're on 21 through 24.
Okay.
I'll be back in a minute. Thank you.
When your brothers look for you within the prison they believe they have put you in, they will find that you are not there. They will look into your eyes and find no accusation or judgment against them. In you, they will find their innocence. Through you, they too shall be set free.
Wow, and again, that's so nice.
Yes, and again, this is not something that comes by effort. It's not something where they don't see, it's not that they see you trying to forgive them. It's that you're unaffected. You're unaffected by the projections of your mind. You're unaffected by what the world is doing. So it's not that you're making this effort to try to forgive them and then they don't. It's that you start to know who you are. You start to identify with your innocence, and there is no error. There is no sin.
You know, my dad is an awful good illustration of that. Bless his heart. Sometimes I think it's because his hearing is going, but really he's not offended by anything.
Mm. Right. Yes.
I mean, you can say dad and whatever, and he's just not offended.
Right. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to be relieved of that burden.
Yes.
Of feeling defensive.
Right. He's just always just right there and not caught up in the judgment or the guilt or the...
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah, because, you know, if you respond like that, if you respond like, what do you want? Or you respond in an attack mode, that means that your guard was up.
Right.
You weren't aware of it, but your guard was up. And to be able to drop your guard completely, just like every concept that you have about yourself, to be able to drop that, that's your guard. All those concepts, that's your guard. That's your protection. That's what's keeping your heart safe from being fractured in two by someone or by getting your feelings hurt, you know, by keeping your guard up, by responding in kind, by responding in anger, as if anger can protect you.
Right. I mean, that's the ego's
right.
thought
right.
system for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be able to let your guard down and just be consciousness, pure consciousness, it's liberating. It is liberating, you know, and like you said, whether it's his hearing that's diminished or whatever,
yeah,
that's the way it happened for him, and that's part of his path, and you know, and sometimes that's a great thing, because really it's our senses that we use to deceive ourselves.
Right.
What we see, what we hear, make interpretations.
Yeah,
you know?
but seriously, I don't think it's because
it's because he doesn't interpret. He doesn't give
because
a
meaning. He doesn't put that interpretation.
Right.
On that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Right.
This is how you are to know your own innocence. For you must accept your innocence to accept your brothers, and you must accept their innocence to teach it to them. To know your own innocence, you must do this. You must trust me.
That's amazing, isn't it? To know your innocence, you must trust me.
Right. You know, and when it says, you must trust me, he's talking about yourself.
Yes.
He's talking about the one who is engaging with me right now. You must trust the one who is engaging with me right now. That is who he's talking about. You, right now, you are, we're totally present to each other. We have no judgments upon each other. And that's who he's talking to. You must trust me. That's you. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about you must trust Jesus. He's talking about the presence. You must trust your own presence, which is present to you 24 hours a day. Well, except when you're sleeping, you know, it still comes to you, but it's present to you all the time. It's always there. And I was just speaking to Jacqueline last night, and I said, you know, I just asked myself the question. I got this from Eckhart Tolle, too. He said, just ask yourself throughout the day, am I aware? And then in order to be aware, for me, I need to go into my heart. I'm not talking about a mental awareness or anything like that. I'm talking about, am I aware? Because the mental awareness is of objects, of people, of concepts. The eternal awareness to me is in the heart. It's am I aware? And I say, yes, I am aware. And I never get it like, yes, I'm aware. It never responds like that. It never
why
says,
are you asking me that question?
Yeah, why are you asking me that question again? It's always, yes, I am aware. And it's always unaffected. It's always dispassionate. It has no agenda. It just says, yes, I'm aware. And
right.
And I rest in that.
Right.
And I realize that that's me.
Yes.
I realize that that's me talking to me, the truth talking to the truth.
And I think you're right. It is without an agenda. It is without being in your head and calculating the future or the past. It is being totally present in this moment and just being in that without all the judgments that might come when we get back in our head.
Mm, right. The conditions. See, with consciousness, and consciousness to me, I think Nisargadatta had a great illustration. He talks about consciousness is always of things. Awareness has no object. Awareness is just awareness. And that's why, like, when I say, am I aware, it answers me lovingly. Consciousness can be conditioned. Awareness cannot be conditioned. Awareness is just pure. Consciousness can be conditioned to respond in certain ways, to see something and have an automatic response to that, a conditioned response, consciousness, and that's where we talk about purification. It's to purify that conditioned consciousness, which is conditioned to respond, to react and respond in certain ways. And it's for me, it's a very important delineation to talk about consciousness and awareness as the same thing. To me, it's not the same. It is not the same. Consciousness is always, that's why consciousness, because consciousness can be conditioned and it can change. You know, your consciousness can, it's like a roller coaster. Obviously, our efforts are geared toward purifying consciousness so that it's pure consciousness, which pure consciousness is a reflection of awareness. It's a reflection of awareness, of just being aware of awareness. I think it's important to, for me anyway, for my purposes, to realize the difference with the, and the consciousness is always about the I am, you know. The awareness is about I awareness, you know. It's not even a presence. It's beyond the presence. But in any event.
Well, let me say one more thing about that. About and then move on. But for me, when I feel like I'm in my awareness, I feel like I'm receptive to everything, and I don't really know anything. I'm just there receiving. I'm receiving without knowing anything.
Wow, that's beautiful.
You know, because as soon as I know something, I'm not in my awareness anymore.
Right, exactly.
I'm just perceiving it or taking it in, or being witness to it, or a part of it. And a part of it is probably the biggest thing. You know, like my hands become just one more thing in the room.
Right.
But I don't know anything. And as soon as I know something, I drop out of it.
It's a burden, because the knowing is an interpretation, and it's a burden.
Yes.
Right. So that lightness that you're experiencing, once you assume the knowledge, it's a burden. And now you're carrying it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Or you're just not in that
right.
same
the same space
exactly. Okay, so I guess we're at the top of 225, the last of chapter 5.
Okay, that was a nice pronouncement. Thank you, Connie.
Like I know something.
Even before your innocence is an experience that you realize, you must trust me that it is so. And again, he's talking about yourself. You must trust me. You must trust the one who is present right here. That is you. For if you do not trust me, you will not let your guilt come out from its hiding place so that I may show you it is false. If your guilt does not come out from hiding, you will continue to believe it, and you will remain in prison. And again, if you do not trust me, you will not let your guilt come out from its hiding place. You keep it hidden in consciousness. The witness to consciousness is awareness. Awareness can look, and that's where salvation. And again, this is from my experience. That's where salvation comes, when I can see awareness looking at what consciousness may be upset about. I can say, I say nothing. It just seems to dissolve. It just seems to dissolve. I say, am I aware of this thought? Yes, I'm aware of this thought. And just in saying, yes, I'm aware of this thought, I can hear myself being so gentle, and I say, well, I guess it's not so bad, you know. I guess it's not such a big deal, you know. So that silent, dispassionate awareness is just the witness to what's going on in consciousness.
Cool. Very cool.
And so I am asking you to trust me above the voice that says you are guilty. There are two voices you may listen to. I am asking that you listen to me. If you listen to me and step out into the light, I will speak for you. Through what I say and what I show you, you will come to see that you are innocent. So my first request is only this, and this is all that I ask you to do. Trust in me. Listen to my voice. Let me teach you that your innocence is your truth.
Nice.
Yeah. We've gone over that, what that means to us.
Perfect.
So move on to...
You want to see if there's anything on the board?
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, Jay has his hand up.
Hey, Jay, what do you say there, buddy Rowe?
So
you hit.
What do I bounce out, right?
No, just hit here. This is what you hit. Jay, take the mic.
Hey, Jay, I don't know what's going on. Type on the board if, when you're ready to try again. I don't know why you couldn't get the mic. He can hear me.
Oh, yeah, but he may be away from his... okay, so we'll continue then. I've become myopic when I'm doing this, and I don't really pay too much attention to the board. I'll make more of an effort to look at the board. In any event, we'll continue with NTI Acts chapter 6. Trust is the answer to the questions upon your faith. As you move forward with me and do all that I ask, you will hear questions within your mind. The questions will come from your own temptation to judge for yourself, which is your desire to exercise your own will, which is the ego.
Yeah, so those questions are really questions of doubt, right?
I think, you know, I guess any question is definitely a question of doubt.
Yes.
Yeah, so that would have to be accurate. For the temptation to deny your questions also comes from the ego, who tells you that you are guilty for questioning and that for your questions you will be judged.
You actually skipped a sentence there.
Did I?
Yeah. It says the questions will come from your own temptation to judge for yourself, which is your desire to exercise your own will, which is the ego. But this is no reason to deny your questions. For the temptation to deny your questions also comes from the ego, who tells you that you're guilty for questioning and that for your questions you'll be judged.
Hmm. That's good. Okay, thank you for catching that. Because everything, every question that comes up, if you deny the question, that means that it hasn't had a chance to run its course. It's got to run its course. If it's there, it's either got to be seen as useless and I don't need this. But if you don't see it that way, then it's got to be asked. It's got to be addressed, or else it's unfinished. It's an energy within you that has not found resolution.
Right.
So if there's a doubt, if there's a question, and you feel it, if you're not able to dismiss it quickly and say, no, that's BS, I can move on, I don't need to address that. If you can't say that swiftly and with certainty, then it's got to be addressed, or else it's something that lingers, gathers momentum, and like a little dust bunny starts gathering and gathering, and it's not resolved. There's no resolution. So, talking about elimination, we want to eliminate. We want to, as soon as it comes in, let's eliminate it, resolve it. So it isn't that is. I'm glad you caught that, because that is very important. That there is no reason to deny your questions.
Yeah, and I think the next paragraph addresses it as well. What you do with your questions.
I tell you that you are not guilty for anything. I will hear your questions and answer them. Bring them to me in joy and trust, knowing they will be answered. The answer you are given will point you in the direction of all truth, which is love. And a lot of times, bring them to me in joy and trust, knowing they will be answered. Many times we hear that they're going to be answered, and we expect a verbal answer. It doesn't come to me that way. It comes to me in an energetic feeling, like, let it go. Like, just be at peace with it. Realize there's just something that overcomes me, a feeling of I can let that. I can leave that alone. So if you're waiting to hear a verbal answer with an explanation of why you're not guilty and all that. You know, that's maybe that comes to some people. It doesn't come to me like that, you know. And so the answer can come just as a feeling of lightness, of a feeling of I can let that go.
Yeah, and I think that another cool thing here is that if the Holy Spirit says bring that to me, you're not guilty of anything, I will hear your questions and answer them. You know, who is the Holy Spirit but it's my right mind, right?
Or awareness.
Or awareness.
Yeah.
So how could there be anything to fear in that? How could there be anything but joy in that?
Right.
It's not something that's separate and is going to find me guilty because it's,
yeah.
I mean, they're so diabolically opposed that.
Yeah. It
doesn't even make sense.
Yeah,
so
it dissolves. It's like the question dissolves in awareness. You know, it's like it just dissolves.
Yeah, or the at least the fear or the apprehension
of
bringing it the question to if I bringing a question to my higher right mind, how could that be fearful? How could that be anything but joyful?
Yeah.
That's my point, yeah.
And we start to find out that any question regarding form is meaningless. Any question regarding form. You start to realize that any question regarding form is a meaningless question.
Yeah.
And I have no need to go any deeper into this. If it's something that arises and falls in consciousness, there's really no need. You can address it if you feel the need to address it. If it's something that's there and needs to be discussed or gone through, you know, you can do that. But what we start to find out is that any question regarding form is really, really meaningless.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but I don't think that this is limited to simply those kind of questions. I mean, it may be a question like, what do you mean, Holy Spirit, we're all one? I mean, that's that SOB just knocked me down the stairs or cut me off in traffic or, you know, how do I love this one? I mean, I don't think these are simply questions of doubt. And I think that this is addressed to Holy Spirit leading you in the world. And in fact, you know, that there was a debate in the Course in Miracles community for a while about does the Holy Spirit lead you in the world? And the answer is, my take on that is, and I think NTI's take on that is, yes, Holy Spirit leads you in the world, but only in order to lead you from the world. So you know, it's like the questions from Inner Ramana: how am I to see this? What am I to do now?
Yeah.
And those types of questions are actually very helpful questions to take to Holy Spirit, as well as questions as, you know, I know you've told me we're all one, but I don't feel all one today. So what would you have me know about this? Those
right.
types of questions.
Yeah. I guess I'm speaking in a more broad terms. And basically, for me, the world is, in true regard, the world is the kingdom of heaven. There, you know, it's when there is no difference. You know, when I can see the world as a creation, as just the creation, and allow it to be spontaneously, continually just allow it to be spontaneously, because everything is spontaneous. We think that there's, people with plans and people that are plotting this against this faction of society, and everything is spontaneous. All the machinations go on in the mind of its own little of the I am-ness, of how does this affect me, of how does this, what does this mean about me, this separate me. And as I think like that, then of course I'm going to see a fearful world. But you know, I just really think that the kingdom of heaven is where you find it. And sure, how to respond in the world, I agree, is important. But it's really no different than, it's the same. To me, it's the same. It's as my spontaneity is engaged, you know, it just as it's happening right here and now, right at this moment, right now, this is never going to be repeated again, you know, and it's wonderful, and it's life, and it's full of inspiration, and I think, you know, am I aware of other things, or am I aware of the body and other things? Yeah, I am. So, and I'm on the path, you know, to not have no concerns about the body. You know, it's like Nisargadatta was talking about whether I have being or no being, which is the body or no body. It makes no difference. It makes no difference to me. So I think it's good to, you know, I make the point where I speak about that it is my experience. That I guess it comes to me in words too. I do a lot of writing, stuff that means something to me that I think will be helpful. But you know, it's all you know. I remember reading this, and it was from I don't know if you've ever read Raj, Cosmic Star Sister used to post these. And he says, and Jesus was saying, you're sitting smack dab right in the middle of the kingdom of heaven, and you don't know it.
Right.
You know, and that, you know, that just really struck me. And I was like, and the only thing that's keeping me from it is my opinions, my judgments, my attachments to concepts, you know, all that stuff. But I'm sitting right smack dab in the middle of the kingdom of heaven, right here with you two, and I'm more aware of it now than I was probably an hour ago, because I can feel, you know, I feel the energy, and it's really sweet. You know, for me, that's the practice is, you know, I the devotion to it. I feel very devoted to it, and it's not by no cause of nobility or anything. It's just from, because that's where this particular part of consciousness happens to be at this moment. There's no person doing this. It's just this part of consciousness happens to feel this need to be this devoted at this time, beyond anything else. And it's like my dad was in AA, and I used to go to AA, but he was had much more success with AA than I did, and we used to be like, why do you got to go to meetings? Why do you go to? And he would say, it's the most important thing I do in my life. And we didn't get it, but it was the most important thing that he did, because he had to take care of himself first, or else anything else he did was useless, was meaningless. So, you know, when I look back at it now, I totally get it. And I totally understand that he was just, you know, he was an instrument. God was working through him at that time, you know. The grace of God was working through him. And so, really, you know, he was saying, God is the most important thing in my life. And that's, you know, for me, that's, that's kind of like where I'm at. It's like it's just the most important. And anything I can do to keep myself present to that remembrance, I'll do. Until I don't do it, until I forget, you know.
Yeah. So what we're talking about here is guilt or innocence. You know, we got the two columns again. It's guilt or innocence. It's the ego or the Holy Spirit. Because that's all there is. There's one side of the page or the other side of the page.
Mm.
So when we're caught up in the joy that he's telling us, you know, you're not guilty for anything. You're innocent. He could have said, you're not guilty for anything, you're innocent. You know, I will hear your questions and answer them. Bring them to me in joy. How else could you even be present with the Holy Spirit? Because that's all the Holy Spirit is.
Mm. Right.
Anything less than that, I'm back in the ego.
Yeah. Well, you can be in suffering. I mean, you can, you know, and I don't mean to disagree with you, but you could be in pain, you know, because like I've gone through a lot of meditation and being present with what's going on, and man, I just feel it is the ego, but it's the resistance. It's the resistence to let. I don't know what the suffering is, but it's got to be some kind of resistance, because if I were willing to let it go completely, then like you said, I would be totally in the joy, you know. But there, you know, sitting with it, sometimes I find myself like, I'm like, wow, I'm sitting with this and I'm supposed to feel this peace, you know, and I ain't getting it, you know. And sometimes I just become disillusioned, a little bit disillusioned, you know. But you just got to stick with, you know, you just want to do what you're called to do.
Yeah, and you know, and that's why he's saying, don't feel guilty. Bring me your questions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and bring me your questions. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, ask it. Enjoy.
Yes.
Like you said.
So I think we're on 10.
Do not fear me. I am your answer. I will not judge you because you do not know. Oh, I will not judge you because you do not know. I will fill the gaps in your knowledge with all that you seek to know and have answered. Within your own mind, you will find conflict and attack upon yourself. This is because your mind is split. You have decided to let yourself be healed, but a part of your mind is not yet willing for that to happen. Do not let this concern you. Do not let yourself get caught up with the battle within the mind. For any battle is a distraction from the Holy Spirit and from healing. Let the battle continue within your mind and without you. Watch it peacefully, knowing that a battle that is not given all of your power and faith cannot last, for only that to which you give your power is true and meaningful for you.
Yeah, so there's a chink in the eagle's armor there.
Yeah. It's like you said, when you go into your awareness, that's when you're, you know, like if I'm trying to watch consciousness from the point of view of consciousness, I'm in the forest fire, you know? I'm right in the middle of it. But it says, do not let yourself get caught up with the battle within the mind. Okay, so then you got to get out of the consciousness. And so you realize you have this awareness. Am I aware? Yes, I'm aware. Where's awareness? Where is that awareness? You know, and it's important for me, I think it's important to find out where you experience your awareness. And then ask that question, and you can, and you can, you can, then you can engage dispassionately. But if you're in that forest fire, you're frantic.
Yeah. You know? I think the course talks about. Sorry, did I cut you off? The course talks about that you can't find the answer within the problem, so you have to step out of the problem.
Mm.
Right, and this is. Where Regina teaches rest, accept, and trust. Which is exactly what you guys are saying. You have to rest the story, accept how you feel, and trust that this is healing.
There
you
go.
It's exactly the process that you guys are talking about.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. That's...
Yeah, we just have took the long way to get
there. Yeah, we took the long time. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, Regina.
We'll rename this to Reinventing NPI.
Chapter 7.
Chapter 7.
How are we on time?
We got about 4 minutes.
We might okay. start a new chapter. What the heck?
Yeah, what the heck?
To trust me, to trust in me is to give everything over to me. To not trust in me is to want to do things your way.
Oh.
And this you are free to do with my blessing. But do not, but to do things your way is to continue to stumble. To trust in me is to learn and remember your joy.
Yeah, I mean, because if you keep on doing things the way you've always done them, you're going to stumble because it's all based on this false assumption of who you are, what the world is, who you are in relation to the world, what your brother is, who you are in relation to your brother. And this is all from a perception of that we talked about a while ago, from this guilt thing.
Mm.
I'm guilty, you're guilty, but you're more guilty than me makes me less guilty. I mean, it's this whole, that is the battleground that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So it's really the same admonition to step out of that.
Yeah.
Step out of that and ask me what you should do.
Yes.
And the mere stepping out of it, like you said, you don't necessarily get it written in audible form or written form, but to step out of it, it holds that answer within itself,
yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because it takes you out of the battleground.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the chink in the armor's
eagle's armor. Yes,
in the eagle's armor because that is the only way out is to step out of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, if we insist on looking at the heart. I mean, looking at the mind as opposed to the heart, you're always going to be in that battle, because the mind is endless.
And that's where we started with this. We started with a loop.
Yeah.
And you can see, we can get right back into it, that would be back in that perceptual loop.
Right.
And this whole thing has been about stepping out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it took us a minute to get there.
Yeah.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it thanks to Jacqueline and Regina. And me and Tom figured it out.
Yeah, we.
Sooner or later.
Yep.
Later than sooner. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for putting up with us.
Enjoy dinner with you guys. We're going to sign off. And sorry, Jay, I wish I would have heard you before. But in any regards.
Love you guys.
Cutting out.
See you next week or time or something. I won't be here next week. They will. Bye. Love you.